It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
Brooke, could you please briefly explain what the recently released memo from the Ministry of Health, dating back to November 21, what did that say about MIQ, and what does that mean for the current government?
Well, we've recently learned this week that in November last year, the Director General of Health and the Deputy Director General of Health both agreed that MIQ was no longer needed in New Zealand because it had outlived its purpose. We're now learning that about 4 months after the fact, and thousands of New Zealanders have had to go through MIQ over the summer period. A lot of people completely missing out on the spot when we know that the government had received advice, public health advice, that said there is no more need for MIQ. I think that's an absolute disgrace. And the Prime Minister should quite frankly apologise to New Zealanders who were kept out of their own country on a false pretense that they were keeping other New Zealanders in New Zealand safe when the public health advice said that it no longer was necessary. Thousands of people have missed out coming home to see the births of their grandchildren. They have missed coming to funerals. I personally know people who weren't able to attend their family's weddings. And at the same time, business owners have been screaming out for people to come and work for them from overseas. The government has got it wrong and needs to front up on why they kept the borders shut for longer than was actually necessary.
One of the key, I guess, pillars of the Public Health Response Act, you know, and I guess the whole government response across the world, not just New Zealand, to the pandemic has been that this is an extreme time, but it has to be proportionate to the circumstances. Do you think that this memo undermines the premise of the government's response to COVID and the Public Health Response Act?
I think it does. And I think we need to start asking more questions about what decisions the government has been making on a false pretense that it's in the interests of public safety, when it may have been completely opposed to what the public health advice they're receiving was. And, you know, we have to ask the question of what is the role of government in the public health response so far? And, you know, a lot of New Zealanders have given up liberties and their freedoms and their rights under the law. We've done that because we've believed that the government has our best interests at heart and will follow public health advice to keep us safe from harm. We now know that that is not the case. The government has held on to redundant policies that kept us closed in from the rest of the world when it was no longer in our public health interest. So they have lost our faith. And there are more questions that we need to ask, but we really also need to start asking, well, what is the basis for a lot of the other policies that the government has continued with? You know, while we've got MIQ gone now, we're still not actually completely opening the border until October this year for people who aren't citizens and residents of New Zealand. There are tourist operators in New Zealand who are probably wondering, why on earth is it that they have to wait months and months to get tourists into the country? And what is the public health advice that's holding us back?
So there are some commentators, notably epidemiologist Michael Baker, who have said that while there was a delay to reopening, that this did help keep out Omicron for another 2 months, and perhaps that this memo was specific to the issues faced with the Delta outbreak. What do you say to those who have that line of argument?
Oh, well, look, I think it's not based on anything. Now that you see that the advice that the government received said there is the exact amount of threat of getting COVID in the community in New Zealand than there would be from somebody bringing it in from overseas. So there was no added threat to people getting COVID in the community. So it needed to go. I mean, what was the point? It had become a redundant policy that was held on to. I think there are a lot of people who will be willing to fearmonger because that's essentially what a lot of policies have been based on for the last 2 years. striking a sense of fear into New Zealanders to keep us locked down for longer. And well, the government has to answer the questions of what is the actual public health benefit to keeping restrictive policies in place.
So, Brooke, could you briefly explain what is the MDRS, the Medium Density Residential Standards, and the National Policy Statement for Urban Development, the NPSUD, and what is Auckland Council doing right now with its public consultation?
Yeah, well, over the last few years, the government has had a larger role in the planning and zoning of our urban cities. And so what's happened is they passed what's called the National Policy Statement of Urban Development, which essentially says that cities must allow for 6 stories and up buildings that are close to transport hubs. And then on top of that, last year they said, well, even that rule's not enough. We now need to allow every section in New Zealand to be able to have 3 three-story homes. So that's across the entire area. They did factor in and say, well, if a council can have a reason or a justifiable reason not to allow these new plans to go ahead, they can put in place what's called a qualifying matter on a section, and that exempts that section from the new rules. So what the Auckland Council is now doing is it's asking for public consultation on what all of these new rules will actually make make Auckland look like. So for context, Auckland has had an Auckland Unitary Plan that plans out for the next 30 years what Auckland and transport networks will look like. Now that is completely run over by the government coming on top and saying, right, we know that you were planning for infrastructure in particular areas and planning for growth in different other areas. Sorry, your plans now have to change to what our plans want to be.
So while it's true that, you know, the Auckland Unitary Plan was fully operationalised in 2016. It's been around for 6 years now. It did have a lot of areas of intensification, others where it didn't so much. However, a lot of that development hasn't been fully operationalised. And I guess, what do you say to those proponents of the, particularly the National Policy Statement for Urban Development, who say that it simply creates a more permissive version of zones like terraced housing and apartment buildings, where because of the complexity of those zones and perhaps they're watering down through litigation and through the courts, this will enable for the NPSUD a greater level of intensification that will help relieve the housing crisis?
Oh, look, from my perspective, it allows for theoretical homes. And you can't have communities with theoretical homes if we want to have the homes actually being built. And this is the problem, you know, as you rightly identified, there have been areas in the Auckland Unitary Plan that have allowed for further intensification that hasn't happened. And the thing that's holding that back is infrastructure constraints. We can have as many theoretical homes as we like, but that doesn't actually help New Zealanders live in homes. We need to get the connections to streets, to water infrastructure, right, so that we can have homes that are connected to communities. And if you've got the same problem with the Auckland Unitary Plan, with a lack of infrastructure, stopping houses being built in areas where they can intensify, you're going to have the exact same problem under the National Policy Statement of Urban Development and the MDRS. You're going to have sewage leaking into streets, as it already does, in more areas because we need to get the infrastructure right. That is the only way that we can actually have more New Zealanders living in better homes in Auckland.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.